Father, we just we're grateful, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness, and even more so, your gentleness, Lord. You've placed us here to be receivers of all those things, as we just said, Lord. And I just pray that you would give us hearts to receive from your word today, Lord, that you would open up our eyes, clean out our ears, so that we can hear directly and see you more clearly. Pray that you would bind the hand of the enemy that wants to distract and move us past this place, things that may take on after we leave here, and help us just to relax and enjoy our time with you. We know it's going to be sweet. So I thank you for your goodness, Lord, and I just we just praise you and just speak to us in Jesus' name. So as we've been talking, as I've gotten to go through Luke, and we just left we're leaving talking about the Last Supper. We finally are getting placed to where we're actually leaving the upper room, and we're getting ready to go down to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in Luke 22, let's read 22 verses 39 to 46, and then we're going to talk about it some. We're going to read a lot of other stuff. It says, coming out, meaning coming out of the upper room, he went out to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like drops, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. What I'd like to do here is try to, and I'm hoping that you guys will read it ahead. Does anybody know what scripture verses take place from verse 39 to 40 in the other Gospels? So we just get this little glimpse here, a little blurb. But from verse 39 to verse 40, quite a bit is said from Jesus. And I would like to read that today. Three chapters. If you want to turn to John chapter 15. And I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to, no commentaries if I can help it. Because when he says that he's seen that they had fallen asleep from sorrow, I think we need to get a picture and understand, yes, they were in the upper room, they've had Last Supper, and he's talking to them, but there's some things that are brought out in these three chapters that are beautiful, and I think a lot of times we don't link it when we read it. And so I think sometimes to get the whole thing, it's a good thing. It helps us. So I can prove this by chapter 14, verse 31. It says, let us go from here.
14.
Chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus says, arise, let us go from here. And he's doing the same thing as they're leaving the upper room when he says, let us go. So, as they're on the way from the upper room, from the Mount of Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane, this is what Jesus shares with his disciples. It's only 11 of them. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. For without me you can do nothing. Here's your echo, Karen. Sorry. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one to lay down his life, one's life, for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. These are promises. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them, cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of the disciples said amongst themselves, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. And because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is saying." Now Jesus knew that they had desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring amongst yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me? No. Again, a little while, you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I have came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, "See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus spoke these words and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that you also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Back to Luke. Actually, Matthew. You can turn to Luke, but I'm going to read a verse from Matthew, because before verse 40 of Luke, and 26 verse 38, as they're going, actually verse 37, 26, 37, he says, he took many wells, verse 36, then he came with them to the place called Gethsemane, and said to his disciples, sit here a while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face. Now we're in Luke. My main reason for doing this is just to maybe get the idea of why Jesus had said there that they were sleeping from sorrow here when I read that earlier. And to build a picture, I mean, we came to the point in Matthew where he even says that my soul sorrows even unto death. So a lot of times if we don't have that in there, we want, well, why are they have so much sorrow? I know, I understand that he told them that he was going to die. They all just got told before all this, they're going to betray him, walk away and desert him in the upper room before they even left. And then he starts to talk about abide. He gives them the answers. And he tells them that they're going to be hated. And he just brings out all these things and then and tries to bring them to a place where they can see past his leaving and going to the Father. And then he prays. In John 17 is the priestly prayer, his intercession for not only those 11, but for us today because we're here because we believe their report. And so sometimes I think it's very good to get ourselves in the place that we can maybe relate to the disciples, to see what's actually going on here, to be in a place where we're confused. There's great things being said that I can grow and hold on to, and there's other things I don't want to hear. Like he's going away. You know, we never want to hear that. We don't want to hear that we're going to suffer. We don't want to hear that we're going to have trouble. We don't even want to hear that the world wants to kill you. But we do want to hear, Father, take care of him. You know, I'm going to give him a helper. We hold on to these things. There's reasons in here. But I think through all this, and why I wanted to do this, is just to kind of get us into a mindset. Like, they're walking with Jesus, the Last Supper, and they understand something's about ready to happen. You know, we don't get to, I wouldn't say, be there with them, but we can, our hearts can have an empathy and live in a way that I can understand the emotions. Because the truth is we know all these things for ourselves. That it's a beautiful thing to know that those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution until it happens. Or until we get wrecked and get put in our face that they will kill you because they killed me. They will hate you because they hated me. We like, the helper's coming. And he's going to guide you into all truth. We like the good verses and truths of the Christian life. But being guided into truth is to learn how to walk through the persecution. To walk through the bad times, the hard times. And really, the disciples walked for 3.5 years clueless. Until that chapter 16 when it says, oh, now we understand. But even that got them to a point where their eyes were really open and then you could see that it brings about sorrow. And so, I wanted to read that. And I hope that helps bring it together. Or at least brings you into the picture, brings you to that place where you can grasp everything that Jesus is trying to say. That was like 15 minutes, a 15-minute sermon from Jesus. I know everybody wished we would do that. Right? But there's a lot of confusion there. And at the end of it, even after he prays for them, they're walking and he says, sit and pray with me. And we're told that they fall asleep from sorrow. Why? Other than the fact that they're sorrowful. But what brought them to sorrow? Unbelief. Unbelief and misunderstanding of the promises that the Lord told them. And like, yes, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to be killed. But you're going to see me again. Hebrews tells us, for the joy set before him, he despised the shame. Enduring the cross for the joy that was set before him. So I hope that helps. Now we can look at this a little bit. Chris was talking earlier. He said I could go through the whole book of Ruth again and share completely different because the Lord opens up things. And so I want to share a few things today, and then next week, if that's all right, I'd like to expound and do some things. And I don't have a whole lot, just a few things to share. I want to talk just briefly about what is prayer. Because Jesus said, pray. So what is prayer? Question. I think it's one of the biggest things we struggle with. Yes?
Conversation
with God. Conversation? Talking to God. It's that simple. Very simple. Now you guys just made it too easy. But there's different forms of prayer. There's the first, if you go, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 11:6. Says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. But he who comes to God and believes that he is, prayer. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we do know that faith is mixed in to even an entered prayer. I can't say Father if I don't have faith to believe I have a Heavenly Father. So faith will bring us to prayer. A lack of faith will bring us to sorrow. So there's different forms of prayer as I communicate with God. The basic simple premise of prayer is just an act of worship. And one of the coolest things is when I say, Father, I've already worshipped. Because by faith I've entered in and said, Father. It's an act of worship. We communicate. It brings us into fellowship. Yes, there is request. We see Jesus thanking the Father. We see Jesus requesting from the Father. It's just a normal communication. I know many people say, I don't have time to pray. Father, guide me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's just a fall away, a communication away. He wants to speak. He wants to lead us. Why does he tell them to pray? So they don't enter into temptation. What is temptation? What is the biggest temptation we all have every day?
Self.
Not
believing God.
Unbelief. Unbelief is the greatest temptation because God said it. A lot of people say God said it. That settles it. That's true. It should be God said it. Amen. Right? That's why Jesus said amen at the end. He knew the Father heard him and received it. The word temptation, just in simplicity, is to test, to scrutinize by putting to proof whether good or evil, by experiment of good or evil. So in our mind, we try to balance out, is this okay? Is this not okay? You want me to do this? You want me to see that balance? It's like I'm trying to scrutinize what God's will is. Is this good or is this bad? Is this right or is it wrong? Should I go left? Should I go right? And then we walk it out. We see that Peter does that. We see it all the time. And I don't want to get into this a lot, but it made me think of everybody else calls it the Lord's Prayer. I think John 17 is the Lord's Prayer, but it's our Father who art in heaven. You know, in Matthew, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as... That's right. And what's the next part? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen. You see, it's prayer working, faith mixed with prayer, seeking the Lord for his guidance, his provision, and all in there. Give us this day our daily bread. He doesn't say, give me my retirement. Give me what I needed for yesterday. Because God's not like that. He gives you today. Sufficient for the day is enough. I'm going to say, right? Trials of the day. So when we speak of prayer and fellowship, and then it says there in Hebrews 11:6, sorry, I kind of got out of it says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What is the reward that you receive when you diligently seek him? more of him. He tells Abraham, Abram, I am your exceedingly great reward. You see, ultimately, the temptation is to really want something other than fellowship and enjoying time with Jesus and the Father. I think I need anything, but doesn't the scripture say you lack nothing? And then you've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness? But then he does say, ask. Right? So there's that balance. But we don't want anything away. I don't want to receive anything from the Lord that doesn't come in the Lord himself. That I can know him and grow in him, and our intimacy grows so I can grow in my faith as I trust him. Getting, you can look at today's and all the different scary things that are going on around us and all things. Like, I can have a ton of money in the bank, but if they take all my money out of the bank because they want to, or they have a computer glitch and it's gone, where's my faith? What am I standing on? I'm not standing on my own resources. I have him. I have him. And he's my all in all. And so, really, that's all I wanted to share today, if anybody has anything to add. But I'd like to take apart and look at these same verses next week, so we won't go any further. And just kind of talk about, because within this, pray that you don't enter temptation. We're going to see these things, and we're going to talk about Jesus praying for the Father's will. I will say one thing. Verse 42 is a proof that there is only one way to heaven. If there is any other way, take this cup from me. It means if there is any other way, Jesus didn't have to suffer. And that's all I want to say about that. There's one way, and it's through the cross. It's by coming to God, the Father, and receiving the forgiveness because he took the cup for us. And so, we're going to be talking about sleeping and stars. So I'd like to talk about more of that next week, but I just wanted to get that whole concept, Jesus' last sermon, before you, and put it in context of the upper room into the garden. And your homework is to, like, read about that. Read those three chapters this week, and just start to see, like, some of the confusion, like the bad, like, oh, he's coming, he's going, he's giving, but they're taking. And so you have to see the battle that's going on. And you're going to find that goes through your heart every day. And the answer is going to be, pray that you don't enter temptation. The same thing he said to them. And so, with that, anybody have anything to add? I don't want to hear you don't like homework. You don't have to do it. I'm not going to read it all, but I am going to pick portions out. Because there's a reason why they have sorrow. Because the thing he shared, and he even said himself he was in sorrow. So look at those things, but don't let them make you sorrowful. Pray and ask the Lord to show you how you not to enter into temptation. And we'll talk about that next week. Any thoughts, concerns? It's hard to argue when you just read his word, isn't it? So, all right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. You said your word is truth. And it's through your word that you reveal your son, because he said he is the word. And through that, Lord, that it's how you set us apart unto yourself and away from the world. We thank you for that, Lord, that it was your decision that you chose us to give us an opportunity to choose you. So, Lord, I pray that as we go this week, that your words would be encouraging and even bring questions, Lord, because we know that when we have questions, just like the disciples, they came to you and asked, and then you gave greater revelation. So we thank you for that. We thank you for your love, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And most important, thank you for dying on the cross.